Session number 12325, René Kisray, Reel 7.
Reel 7. I would like to tell you that in 1963, I was with my wife and my son, who was 3 years old, he's 31 now. I went to see the room where I saw Mussolini spend the night there. It was still there. I saw it. It was a souvenir, you know, to see. I crossed all the way. I saw the place where he has been shot. I remember very well it was to, how do you call it? There is a gate with...
two posts.
Yes. And empty and far, there is a house, a building. It was a farm. And he was shot in the corner, of that gate. But
it was interesting you saying as well earlier on in the interview how there was this sort of feeling against the fascists.
Yes.
And how you protected a lot, didn't you?
Yes.
With you know.
No, you see, the Grand Council was afraid for their skin. They were all cowards, to be honest. You know. Oh yes, proof. You know, it has been betrayed by his son-in-law. And he shot his son-in-law as a traitor, you know. And they were, because many of those fascists, some kept longer to be fascist, but many of them, Chen said, we're a fascist because, you know, they obliged me or something like this, but it wasn't true. They were not interesting at all. I met many of them. I talked with two, three, but the one who amazes me was Count Camerana, who was a gerarca fascista. Gerarca fascista means a leader of fascist. Was inside him against the fascist, against Italy. He was clandestinely helping the Allies. As I told you before, he crossed the checkpoint with the English major, passed him as if he was caught, if they found out that he was a major in the British Army, would have been shot. He had the courage to do that. No, really, Valletta and Camerana and Gigante have been very, very helpful, and we try to help them. And they tell you later, unless you want to see how we helped them. First, as I told you, Camerana, we brought him to his cousin, and we defended him against the horde who stopped us twice. Mrs. Agnelli, I let her to occupy my flat. Her son, who is now the most, now today, the most powerful industrialist in the Europe, I think. You know, Fiat, he's the head, he's the chairman now. Was second, he was very young at that time, he was 20 years or 21 years old. He was in the Italian army as second lieutenant. He went to gamble and he lost fortune. The Avanti, which is a newspaper, socialist newspaper, published that we will follow a story to show you how sons of prominent family behaved while people are dying, something like this. It was for him. As I told you, I was very close to Nenni, who was the leader of the Socialist Party, and the same, the main editor of the Avanti. I used to go almost every morning. I was very close to his family because he has a daughter. You know, when fascists came, he was refugee in Paris, like Saragate, who was president later. All these people I'm giving their name, all have been to jail with the fascist or they escaped. Then his daughter was born in France and she couldn't speak French, Italian, she speak only French. But he was a very, very intelligent man. I met him here in London once. He came as he was Minister of Foreign Affairs. I saw him at the 10 Downing Street. He was invited by, I think it was not Callaghan, before Callaghan. No, it was
Wilson.
Huh?
Wilson.
Might be Winston, yes. And when he was coming with the cortege, I shouted, "Bravo, Nenni!" He said, "Capitano, Capitano, nai, come on!" Then where was I?
You were talking about how you helped them.
Then, when Foglia, the famous Foglia, has been very helpful, that one. One day, he telephoned me, told me, you know, Yanni, the one who is now president of it, is in trouble. Did you read the newspaper? I didn't know. He brought me the newspaper. The story, they're announcing that the tale the day after, they will publish the whole story about a young son of a prominent family. Then I took off that one. I bought all newspaper except the Avanti. And I went to have breakfast as usual with Nenni. So now let me see. We were speaking French together. That's my fault. All people I worked with, Spano, Togliatti, Nenni, Saragat, all spoke French. They told me, let me see. I gave him the newspaper. All newspapers were there except the Avanti. They told me, Avanti. I don't read paper, newspaper, how you call it. Newspaper, not serious like Avanti. How Avanti? Okay, I'm talking about this young man of 20 years, lost his head. He served in the army. He told me what? He read, told me, who is he? I told him that he's the son of Fiat. He's told me. We went to the newspaper, and the article never appeared in the in the newspaper. The story was killed. Sometimes later, when I was, you know, Foglia telephoned me. Told me, you know, Valletta went in hiding again because those ambitious people has succeeded to foment workers against him. They want him to be ousted from the, and he wants your help now. Then what I have done? I saw all these anti-fascist leaders. I met them all together. I told them what Valletta has done for the Allies, how he helped with money, how he helped with hideouts, permits. He, Giancarlo Camerana, bought the major, make him cross all these things. Then a man like this, nobody knew. New anti-fascists don't know, and the workers don't know this. Because we couldn't say it. That is some horrible ambitious who are doing this thing. Then I saw that they believed me. I told them, look, I propose to you something. I bring Valletta here. You see him to be interrogated by you. But one condition. After the meeting, I don't know what you decide, but for 2 hours you don't take any action. You must allow him to go back where he is. He is hiding because it's my responsibility to bring him. He must go free. They accepted. At the house of Foglia, who was in Rome, there was, I think, one or two from the communist, from Socialist Party. There was this Lombardi, I told you, mayor of Milan, who was Partito d'Azione. There were two communists. I introduced Valletta, and I left him in the room. They had been talking for over 2 hours. They asked him all questions. He gave all the information they wanted. They opened the door. I saw them all smiling. Then he didn't need the 2 hours. He was cleared because he told them everything he has done clandestinely against the Germany, against the Antifa, but clandestinely. He couldn't do it because he was big shot. He was the head of Fiat. Because Agnelli was young. Really, Agnelli died. He was really the head of Fiat. And he was cleared. And all of them, all the leaders, even the communists, helped me to get back as president. And he came in the clear, in the open. I was with, at the time, I had Captain Collins, John Collins, become major. I was at the hotel with him, you know, hotel. I told you our main office was at the hotel. And a gentleman came asking for Captain McKay, that me. Then they came, the sergeant came to me, there's some who? Tell him to come. Collins was with me. He said, he gave me a letter with 3 keys inside. Cars, fantastic cars. It was, one of them was the only one of 8 models that Fiat have ever done. Big, 12 cylinders, I don't know what. Here is the letter from Valletta giving instruction to his manager to give me, to hand over the Fiat so and so. 1, 2, and 3.
Yes, I see, yes.
Then give them, he was the big boss of Fiat, telling them to hand over 3 cars. And he offered not 3 cars. But unfortunately, one of them, one of our driver, British, was so excited to have this car that the first time he took it, he smashed it against the wall.
I must ask you now about the Vatican, whether you had any contact in your sort of intelligence work.
Yes.
With the Vatican or the Pope, you know, yes.
Told me one day that he was approached by a young Italian who made him understand that he would like very much to meet some Italian, British officers. Then my informer, I wanted to know a little more. Then he told him that he was German, but born in Rome of German mother, a German father and Italian mother. He lived all his life in Rome. He has been working in the Vatican as clerk, but he left to see, before the declaration of war, he went to see his father in Germany. He was caught by the German army and served in German army. He deserted, escaped, and came back to Rome. He was, his story has been agreed, accepted by the people of Vatican, and he resumed his work. He wanted to see some British officer. He told me this story. I told him, all right. What shall we do? I told him, all right, we have an appointment. There is a church, Catholic church, Via Saluziana in Rome. I gave him an appointment for the following morning at 11 o'clock. I went to the church. They were all two kneeling. I went just behind kneeling with them. Then the chap told me, I would like to talk to you personally. Then I told my informer to go. Then he confirmed me all this story that he was German, deserted. And he told me, he knows that the German ambassador who is in asylum in the Vatican, he was the German ambassador to the Vatican, wanted to have contact with the British intelligence. He had something very important to say. I told him, right, I'll give you the answer tomorrow. I went back to our office. I told the story about what happened. They sent the cable to Churchill or to London, to Foreign Office, that the answer was, all right, but don't take don't commit yourself. Then I told him, I met that young German who was Italian, half German, all right. I tell you, the ambassador, that I will be at such place tomorrow. You know, you haven't been to Rome. You don't know the Vatican place where the big church, a big place, you know. And in the middle, there is a fountain. In each side of the fountain, on the floor of each side, there is a small, round, white marble from one side to the other. And it was All the foreigners, tourists, used to go there. And when you go around, you see only one column. You know, it's a huge place, you know, about 200 columns. You see only one column. But if you move right or left, you see behind each column there are 5 others. But it was so well calculated that from that spot, you could see only one around. It was famous. Then I told him, all right, we meet at that spot like this, tomorrow. I dressed in civilian clothes, and I was hidden behind one of the columns waiting. Nobody came. At the last minute, I saw a gentleman coming and stopped there. I went there. He told me, "Are you the man I'm waiting for?" I said, "Yes, I am." He spoke better English than me, of course. He spoke perfect French, perfect Italian. He told me, "I am not the man you are waiting, expecting to see. I am not the ambassador. I am his emissary. I am the secretary. The ambassador knows that a group of high-ranking officials in Germany wanted to attempt against Hitler's wife a second time, because the first time it didn't succeed. But they sent all these papers, all these details, to their member in Switzerland. The ambassador would like to be allowed to go to Switzerland to collect this, which he will give to you." I told them, "I can't, I have to see." Then I went back to my office, I told them the story. "No. They didn't accept." Then when I went back to see the... I told him, "You don't accept because they said they wanted unconditional surrender without any..." He was crying. Told me it's a pity because I am sure that the ambassador would have brought to you very important papers. And I left. That is the Vatican story.
Do you know anything about the Pope, the Pope at the time, and his sort of attitude towards the war?
Yes, the Pope at that time wasn't very helpful to the Allies. He wasn't very helpful. It was P12, I can't remember who he was. He wasn't. But it's very funny, I had the opportunity to see him twice. Once he received all the allies in the Vatican. I was amongst the other officers. I saw him. Second time, there was a certain colonel, an English colonel, who is a famous Catholic in England, wanted to see the Pope or obtained something with the Pope, and he wanted somebody who speak English, speak Italian. Then my office told me to go with him. It was the second time I saw the Pope. He was introduced. He didn't say anything. He wanted to see him, that's all. Kiss his hands. I translated a few words, and we left. It was to die.
You have a decoration, though, for yes. The Pope. Could you tell me about that?
Decoration. Decoration is... It tells all the story in the... I forgot to tell you something first. When I was in Naples, that is before, when I was in Naples, I was called to Bari. Bari was our headquarters. I was frightened. I said, if they call me Bari's headquarters, all officers are there, I will have to give up my work in Naples. I didn't like it at all. When I arrived there, I was very pleased because they told me there is three prominent politicians, Italian, who exiled in the United States, are coming back from the United States. We want you to escort him to Naples and stay there. I was quiet. It was a famous ex-minister of foreign affairs, Sforza, very, very big name, and a certain General Pavoni, and a certain Tarchiani, all three anti-fascists who escaped at the time and were in the United States. And they came, with the help of the Allies, they came back. I waited for them and at the airport, and I took them with me to Naples, and Sforza, I saw him. He was a very, very handsome gentleman, tall, with a small beard, very elegant. Very. He was crying when he arrived in Naples. I became very friendly with him. And when Rome was liberated, and he went to Rome, I used to go and visit him. He helped me a lot at my story of Alitalia, which I'll tell you after. He helped me with his advice. And until he died. He died a few years later. Right. What did you ask me for?
I asked you about the decoration, uh-huh. Didn't I?
Which one?
The Pope.
Because they had two, one from the Pope and one from the Arditi Italiani and one from the Partisan. I had three Italian decorations. The one from the Pope was, I had helped some popes, well, no, some priests, to cross the lines between the north and the south. And when we reached not far from our lines, we had been spotted by a patrol. If they were caught, they would have been shot. But I, as British officer, I would have taken us prisoner. Then I told them to hide under the bushes. I run so the German could see me, follow me. And they escaped the other side. And I managed to escape myself. A few months later, I received a letter from the Vatican asking me to go for an interview. I went there, and they gave me this decoration.
It's very splendid, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's a one like this, and one here. And the... I want to tell you something else.
Were you going to tell me about the others, the one from the Partisan?
No, I'm not. It's for the whole work I have done with the Partisan. They gave it to me. I wanted to say something else. What was it? Stop. My relations with the Vatican helped me later. When I was civil, I had the trouble with the Contessa and all these things. And I wanted to go to... It was impossible to get money, dollars and all these things. I went to the Vatican. They have a bank there. I changed all the Italian lire against dollars, against many other things. Thanks to my relations with the Vatican, they helped me to get all the dollars I wanted. Otherwise, I couldn't have the dollars. And I flew to Seoul with the dollars.
You were talking earlier about the OSS, you know,
the American
competition,
yes.
You had.
Oh, yes.
Well, what was there? You know, what were your relations like, the British and
we are rivals.
Pardon?
Rivals.
You were rivals.
They were the intelligence, American intelligence. We are supposed to work together. But there was some trouble from time to time. You see, we are handicapped in relation with the American, because the American had all the promises. All, for example, if the people said, we want you to promise this and this, they will say yes. But Rome and London told me no, no, no. That's why all these cables, no promise at all. The only promise is to take them with you down. And I succeeded. I don't know. I don't know the whole story. But I'm sure they proposed money to them. They are much richer, and they had more possibility than the English. We are very strict. You know, everyone I sent behind the lines, I must tell him, I was obliged by our law. If you are caught, we don't know you. We ignore you. We tell that we never had any contact with you. And if you are killed, we have nothing to do with your relative. We don't pay any subvention to your father. I had to do every time I sent somebody behind the lines.
Did that happen? Did many of your men get caught?
Yes. I told you, Tania, the other, were shot. And I had a certain, from Turin. Is it open? I told you about Renato Levi, who was in foreign legion in France. He was a very nice man, very straightforward. When we wanted to send him behind the lines, we sent him with another young man from Genoa. As soon as they landed, the chap disappeared. We never heard of him anymore. He wanted to go to Italy to join his family. That's all. But Renato had television with him when he was... I don't know how you call it. You know, when there is a, in the street, There is like ditch where the water goes through.
Oh, it's a drain.
Yes, drain. When he was parachuted, they have been spotted by some peasant villagers. Then he went. He hide. He had to take off his clothes, gave him to his friends, and in the water went behind the small bridge. You know, from time to time there is a bridge to hide his WT set, which was enveloped in a rubber thing, impermeable, and he was hiding there. When the peasant didn't find anyone, they left. He went out, called for his friend. His friend escaped with his friend. He was naked. He had no trousers, nothing. And he told me the story. You know what he has done? During he hide there, and he's very courageous. Until the night. At night he went out. He saw a small light, a house, a farm, a small house. He went there, he looked through a window, he saw an old lady. He was there. She was frightened. Told her, no. What happened to you? See, I was in bed with a wife of somebody who came at the last minute. I had to escape. And she didn't have trousers. She gave him a gown. She gave him a gown. He went out, and he was caught later by. Then he was very, very clever. He told the people, "I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to your officer." They brought him to the officer, who was a lieutenant or captain. He closed the door. I was in bed. Same story. With the wife, the husband came, I had to escape. I am an Italian officer. You know, these people, when we send them, we give them some card, some many things. He had a card with the name of an Italian officer. The captain smiled, clever, gave him everything, and let him go. Then he went, and we told him that he must join a certain Luciano was the head of a group of ours, Luciano. Then he joined the group of Luciano. And sometime later, we didn't know what happened. When Luciano came back, he talked a lot of things against Renato Levi. When Renato Levi could cross and come, he was taken and put in jail. In Rome jail. Then who defended Luciano was Major Ashford Russell. He was sure of Luciano. And I knew Renato Levi. Then when this Luciano told the story, he said, Renato didn't want to follow my... he was frightened. It wasn't true. I felt. Then I asked the permission to go and see Renato in the prison. Famous prison called Regina Celi. I went to see him. He was like a mad. He was running in the room, prison. He told me, I want to kill myself. I said, why? What happened? He told me, I have been shouting at Luciano because he was all the time in dancing in cabaret with girl talking. I told him several times that he didn't do his job. He should do something. He should have given me some information to send. Instead of that, he hated me. Then I went to see Major Ashford. I told him, he's sorry. He told me it's impossible. I told him I believe him. Then I went to see... he was a colonel, I don't know what. I told him, it's impossible to leave Renato Levi instead of being awarded. He's in jail. It's not fair. Then he moved. We took Renato Levi from the jail, and he told the story, and we confronted him with that Luciano. Luciano was wrong. It was Renato Levi. He got the military medal. We gave him 1,000,000 lire, and he went back to Trieste.
How do you spell his name? Is it L-E-V-Y?
L-E-V-Y, that's
L-E-V-Y.
Right.
L-E-V-Y. Yes. I was wondering, you know, your experience of the Italians in World War II.
Mm.
Often people have a very sort of derogatory view of them, don't they, as fighters.
Yes.
What did you yourself think of the Italians?
That's true. You see, the communists, Italian communists, were very courageous, very loyal, very brave, and really, they are anti-fascist. But most of the population were rather, they followed fascism. But the real fascists who were members of the fascist leaders or something, they were really very totalitarian. And some of them are rather coward. They showed themselves coward when the time came